bottom of Nun Beis Amud Beis, 52b, continuing a discussion of whether a cat can be a dores. In general, as you look through this discussion about drasa, I mean, you see a lot today. There's clearly some kind of theory of toxin that that the animal is able to put toxin on the claws and decide whether the toxin will be injected or not be injected. We're going to see that explicitly in the Gemara here. I did a little research into animal toxin and how it works, and historically, what the theories were. I can't find a theory to account for this. For this idea, first of all, in general, I mean, toxins exist in the lizard kingdom. They're very rare in the mammal kingdom. You do find them by certain moles and rodents. You do find a toxin on the claws. Cats don't seem to find, unless you go into the theory of prehistory and millions of years ago, what evolutionary ancestors may have had, which is entertaining but not so relevant for the Gemara's time.
I raised this question yesterday.
Oh, so what do you have? You have any?
No, nothing. I just smart schools. There's about a source, a more recent source, suggesting that from old previously killed animals, there's bacteria in males, not that bacteria flies.
Right. Right, so infection is the thing that made the most sense to me. The problem is today's Gemara is going to completely shoot that idea. But infection made sense. And one of the articles I saw on toxins talked about one creature that scratches the wood of a tree called a poison arrow tree, which evidently the wood has some kind of a toxin that people use to put on arrows. And then it attacks, so that it actually knows that this is how it gets toxin on its claws. But again, it won't work at all with our Gemara. I have no further explanation. So our Mishnah back on Mem Beis had mentioned only the drusas ze'ev and drusas ari among animals, right? Drusa from a wolf or drusa from a lion. On Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Rab said only from a ze'ev and up, from a wolf and up, and there was a discussion about why Rab needed to say this. Was this clear in the Mishnah, not clear in the Mishnah? And then on Nun Beis Amud Beis, Rav Chisda said that the cat can be dores for kids and lambs. Its toxin will be able to affect kids and lambs, and there's a debate about where he stands, and this whole two versions of the Rebbe, and what the machlokes was. And that brings us to Rav Kahana. Bo'amine Rav Kahana me Rav. Rav Kahana asks Rav, Yesh drusa l'chatul o ein drusa l'chatul? Is a cat called a dores or not? So here's where the fun begins. If you remember the Gemara at the beginning of Pesachim with Evo Chaye and Emo Chaye, this will ring a bell to you. He asked him, is there a drusa for a chatul? Amar lei af l'chulda yesh drusa. Not only for a cat is there, but also for a chulda, some kind of a weasel, a mole, or some kind of a digging rodent. How do they translate chulda? What do they do with them? They say weasel?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, and that's the usual. Yeah. Yesh drusa l'chulda, or ain't drusa l'chulda. So he asks him a second time. He asks him, is there drusa for a chulda? Amalei af l'chatul ain't drusa. Not only is there not for the chulda, there isn't for the chatul either. L'chatul l'chulda, yesh l'en drusa, or ain't l'en drusa. What about for the cat and for the chulda? Let me get them both in one question. Is there or isn't there? Amalei l'chatul yesh drusa l'chulda ain't drusa. He says, there is for a chatul, there is not for a chulda. We'll explain why he asks a series of questions in a second. But the Gemara explains now what this is talking about. V'lo kasha, there is no contradiction here between the different versions of it. Hadamale af l'chulda yesh drusa. When he says there is for a cat as well as for a chulda, that's ba'ofos. That's talking birds. So they both are dores regarding birds. Hadamale af l'chatul ein drusa. When he said there isn't for a cat, that's be'imri ravavi. That's talking about large sheep. And for large sheep, neither of them is able to be dores. Race. Their toxin is not effective. And Adam lechatul yesh drusa lechulda ein drusa. When he says that for a cat there is, but for a weasel of some kind there is not, begedim utlayim. That's talking about young goats, young sheep. It's talking about lambs. And those can be affected by the cat, cannot be affected by the chulda. So at first glance, when you look at this, you think this is l'chadudei, right? This is some kind of like, let me give him weird answers and let him figure it out. Let me sharpen him up a little bit. But Tosfos suggests that these questions were actually asked over time in a series of events. He says at one point there was a story involving birds, and he asked him, "Is there drusa for a chatul for birds?" And he answered, "There is, even for a chulda." Yeah, and then, separate event, there was a discussion about large sheep, and he asked him, is there drusa for a chulda? And the answer was, even for a cat, there won't be. You know, so the questions were asked in context. The Gemara is assembling all the questions in one place and explaining the different rulings, in which case it looks less like Rav is playing a joke on Rav Kahana. Okay. So that ends the discussion about cats, but it's by no means the end of the discussion about drisa in general. Boy, Rav Ashi wants to know how this works regarding birds. Our Mishnah said that in nates is do res small birds, and that an of hagas, a large bird, will be do res large birds. In the Calgary Zoo, I saw a condor. That's a scary-looking bird. I don't know where that fits into the hierarchy of large birds. It's a scavenger. It's not, I think, a predator, but it looked like a predator to me. Boy, Rav Ashi. But in any case, Rav Ashi asks, Shar ofos tamei in yeshlen drusa o inlen drusa. The other non-kosher species of birds, meaning aside from the gas and aside from the nates that we mentioned in the Mishnah, what about the other of these non-kosher birds? The assumption being the non-kosher birds are predators, or predators are non-kosher birds. So Amar le Rav Hillel Rav Ashi. Hillel says to Rav Ashi, Kavinan be Rav Kahana. When we were in the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, Amar, he said, Shar ofos tamei yeshlen drusa. Yes, the other birds can also be dares. Ah, then why did our Mishnah only list the nates for the ofadak? Va'nan t'nan, drusas ha-nates bofadak. When we talk about small birds being attacked, we only mentioned the nates. So his answer was, pick on your own size. Drusas ha-nates b'dikavasei, v'inoch b'dezutraminayu. The nates is the only one that's large enough to attack another nates. The smaller birds can attack smaller birds and be doing smaller birds. That's one version. V'ika di amri, alternatively, Ofadak will mean the nates, will mean nate size. Yeah, how do they render nates there? And in their translation?
Previously they called
it
an osprey.
An osprey. Okay. That's a significant sized bird. But it's not the largest of the birds.
The most common one in Israel is a vulture.
Right, but the vulture is a nesher. The nate, at least according to Rashi, it seems to be a nesher. But the nates, so the nates will be, let's call it the osprey, call it the sparrowhawk, whatever, birds of its size, and that muzzle is what we're going to call ofadak, apparently.
Does it mean ofadak means something that's just as large as it, but a different...
I thought we did. We say that dak means dak. Yes, dak will mean small birds, and gas will mean the big birds. No Sesame Street allusions intended. But that's, I think that's the idea. The nates will be the dak birds, and if you want to talk about a smaller bird that's a non kosher bird that also attacks, so that'll affect smaller birds. That's one approach. Correct. The Ika de Amri, alternatively, Drusus Hanates b'derabi mine. The answer will be that the sparrowhawk or this osprey can attack birds that are larger than it and affect it. The Enoch b'dekavasayu and other birds will be able to affect the birds of their own size. Okay. That's the bird discussion, which brings us to a fox. Now, and two versions of this discussion will come up here. Amar of Kahana Mishmeta of Simi Barashi, Ein Drusa Lashul. He says, there is no such thing as Drusa regarding a fox. Ini, is that really so? Vaki Asar of Dimi Amar Maisa Vidaras Shul Racha Bamerchat Shabes Hini. Rav Dimi came from Yisrael and he told us a story. The story was that a fox attacked a lamb, a ewe, in the bathhouse of Beis Hini. Uba Maislef Nechacham and Bamru Yesh Drusa. The Chachamim ruled that in fact it could be Dores. The fox could be Dores. How can you tell me that it is no Drusa for a fox? Samar Safra Ichatulava, to which Safra said, no, that was a cat. That was a cat that did it. It did it to a ewe, and that follows what Rob said earlier, that a cat can be Dores kids and lambs. So that would be the answer. Ika di Amri, alternatively, Amar Rav Kahana Bishmei de Rav Simi Barashi Yesh Drusa L'Shul. His statement was that there is Drusa for a shul, for a fox. Ini, to which they ask, Raki Yasser of Dimi Amar Maisa Vidaras Shul Rachel Verechas Shabes Hini Uba Maisa Fechacham and Bamru Ein Drusa. He says, what do you mean? We said that there was no Drusa in the story in the bathhouse of Beis Hini. That was the story there. So Amar Safra, he, Hau Kalev Haya. He says, no, that story was a dog. And we say that dogs don't have drusa. And Amar Biosef, Naktinan ain drusa la caliber. Biosef says, as I state, that's the halacha, that dogs don't have drusa.
What happened to the fox in the henhouse?
Right, so this is a dog in a bathhouse. The fox in a henhouse is a whole different kettle of fish. What are you doing in a bathhouse? I can't answer for you.
They have this old story of Chaim Erzer Grudzinski. They used to have a pet goat. They used to take the shoe with himself. So somebody took a pet ewe to the bathhouse.
He's like the mascot.
Yeah. I don't know.
What's a dog or a cat?
I presume the ewe was in the women's one. I don't know. All right. Amar Abaye. These are all good questions. They're washing the wool. The Amar Abaye, they didn't want to leave it outside. They were worried about a ewe-jacking. I don't know. Amar Abaye, Naktinan. Once Rav Yosef is introduced with a Naktinan, remember, Naktinan, Rashi always says, is a halachic statement. This is the halacha. So Abaye, his Talmud, records also a psak, and that it leads us to a whole series of piskei halacha here. Naktinan, ein drusa ela biyad. Number one, you should know, this toxin is only a concern if the attack takes place with a foreleg, not a rear leg. Lafuke regel de lo, not the rear leg of the animal. Number two, ein drusa ela betziporen. Lafuke shein de lo. It's only the claw. It's not the teeth. Which I find very odd if we're going to say this is a theory of infection, because I don't see why a tooth would be any less infectious. Ein drusa ela midas, but here especially, it's only if there is intent, if the animal intended to attack. Lafuke shelo midas delo, as opposed to if the cut is not intentional, maybe you could say it's a less of a jagged cut or less, I don't know. Ein drusa ela mechayim lafuke.
She says that he doesn't go out. Right.
Right. Now, Rashi for sure thinks this is toxin. I'm saying if you want to try to explain this as being infection-based, I'm not sure why infection would be different in these different cuts.
These animals listed would be licking your paws and sticking
right.
Your claws in their mouth.
But if that's true, then the teeth should certainly.
No, but I'm just saying it would affect them.
Oh, you mean it would affect them?
It's not injected into the bloodstream. These claws are injected into the bloodstream.
Right. Toxins in general by animals are injected into the lymph system. I don't know a whole lot, but I read that. So he says, Eidrus al mechayim, it's only if the attacker is alive. La fuke la chamisa de lo, but not if there's a cut from a predator that's already dead. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. That those two statements don't work together. Amri hashta shalomi das amri lo lachar misa mibaya. If you tell me intent is necessary, then obviously the predator is dead. Then there's no issue. What are we talking about? So the answer is lo tzricha de daris upasku al yade. No, you need it for the case in which the animal began to attack, and then somebody sees that it's attacking and cuts off its hand. So the hand is now dead. Before the attack is complete, specifically before the claws have been removed from the victim.
Mao, the animal's alive.
Was alive. The limb is dead. Correct. Mao de sema bahade de daris shadi ziare. I might have said when it first put its claws into the victim, that's when it injects the toxin. The kamash mulan, but how did the shalif shadi ziyare? And the answer is no, it's when it removes its claws at the end, that's actually when the toxin goes in. It's like when you get a shot, and they say the peak pain of it is when the needle goes in and out, not when the needle's inside. I'm not so sure I can be make a distinction like that, but yeah, that's the idea anyway. When it removes the claws, that's when it happens. The chidushi arim says that not only with the toxins, if that's true for Tumah, how much greater for Kedusha? The greatest Kedusha comes at the end of Shabbos, or comes at the end of Yom Tov. Is also at the end. The Megalios HaShas has another line from someone, I forget who he's quoting, that the greatest impact of the Sheva Brachos week is on the last day of the Sheva Brachos. The last day of the celebration. The end. So at the end here, that's when the toxin comes in also.
That's
Hence, that's a chag, correct. There's a whole lot you can do with that. Okay. No one had meant to link toxins with Shabbat Brachos. That was a separate discussion. Okay. Amar Rabba Baravuna Amar Rav. So Rabba Baravuna says, citing Rav, now that we're talking about claws, Arisha nichnas lebein hashivarim v'nimtza tziporim begabo shel echad mehen. Let's say a lion travels among the oxen, and after the lion is gone, you see the nail from the claw of one of the lions in the back of one of the oxen. So do I have to worry that this was a drisa attack? So this is a fascinating discussion which we're not going to get into now. But anyone wants to investigate this, I can give you references on this. We're going to get into a whole discussion about safek drusa and. In general, Safek Chazaka and Reyesa builds on this. Ein Choshen Shema Ari Darsa. He says we don't worry that maybe a lion attacked. My time of why? Rov Arayos Dorsin Umiutan Ein Dorsin. He says I'll grant you that most lions are Dores and only a minority are not Dores. V'chol Dores Ein Siparno Nishmetas. However, if when one is Dores. It doesn't lose a nail. It never loses a nail. Tosfos says never doesn't really mean never. It means most. Rashi says no. Rashi says it never loses its nails. The Beri Adaf, though, says that even Rashi means in the course of normal things. It's possible for it to lose a nail. That's going to matter because of what's going to happen in another couple of lines. He says, "Kol adores ein tziporin nishmet." It doesn't lose a nail when it's dores. Vizos ho v'tziporin yoshemes lo begabo emer bekos on this chakech. The only way this thing got a nail into it is by scraping against a wall, and the claw was embedded in the wall because the animal lost it. The lion lost it at some point. That was not a drisa attack. The lion had stuck its claws into a wall at some point. It got stuck. It got pulled out. And then it ended up in the back of the ox when the ox scratched itself against the wall. To which the Gemara says, what? Adarabah, just the opposite. Roshvar mischakchen umyutan e mischakchen. Most oxen scrape themselves against walls. Only a minority don't. V'chola mischakech ein tziporin yoshevis lo begabo. But come on, I've been watching oxen for a very long time. Oxen don't come away from walls with nails in their back, with lion claws in their back. V'zeh ho'o v'tziporin yoshevis lo begabo emar aridor so. I think the fact that it has a lion claw in its back and there was a lion among the oxen should indicate that probably this thing was attacked by a lion. That's a logical explanation. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. I can see arguments both ways because neither explanation really has reality on its side. So therefore what we're going to do is go with the existing chazaka, unclear whether this means the halachic chazaka or the physical chazaka, but havale safek drusa, the chazaka of this animal is either a physical chazaka that it had not been drusa or a halachic chazaka that it was a non-drusa animal, however you want to take it, but it's presumed its last known status was non-drusa, and now it's a safek. V'rav l'tame, d'amar in choshen l'safek drusa, and Rav doesn't believe in safek drusa. Amar Abaye, lo amrna l'tziporin. Abaye says that's true only if what you found was a nail. Aval mekom tziporin choshen, but if what you found was the wound associated with a claw attacking, then all bets are off. If what you found was the wound associated with a claw, as Rashi says, shlo nishmat velo nimtza sham tziporin, you didn't find the nail. Element koma umakasa nikaras bashor. What you see is the impression of a claw attack. Then indeed we do have to worry that there was an act of drisa involved. The tziporin nami lo amran ela lacha. Further, the deal with the nail, when you say, well, I'm not worried if a nail is found, that only makes sense if it's moist. Rashi says, shahaya badam, there's blood there. Aval yevesha, but if it's dry, abda demishtamta, then we do have to worry that maybe there was a drisa, there was an attack by a lion, and that's why the nail came out. When we say lions don't lose nails, we mean lions don't lose nails in drisa attacks, assuming that their claws are healthy. But if they have a nail that's already already gangrenous, that's already weak in its attachment, that's a different story. And when we say that if it's wet, then it probably didn't come out in a drisa attack, that's specifically if there's only one nail. But if there are two or three nails, then we are concerned, assuming that it's in a line like it would have been in a claw attack, a series of them in a row, then I do worry. Which, again, goes back to the Be'eri Adas point, that even Rashi doesn't believe that they never lose nails, because then none of this makes sense. It means in the course of a normal, healthy situation, it doesn't lose its nails. The Rashash is bothered here, where he said two or three in a row. Why three? Once you mention two, that's good enough. Ordinarily, when we say two or three, it's because there's a debate about chazaka, right? You need two times or three times. But here, that's not relevant at all. So I gave you in the footnote, I gave you a reference to Mishnah LeMelech, who goes into a long discussion of every time the Gemara says two or three, what this is, why it does so. But those are Abaye's qualifications on the case of claws found in sheep. But once we start on this, the bigger discussion is the suffix drusa discussion. In general, what do I do if I have an animal where I think it may have been mauled by an attacker, but I don't actually know? So this is the big discussion. That's our case, yes. That's our assumption. Arishi Nichus Ben Ashvarim is the assumption for this. Otherwise, I have nothing to worry about. Yeah. Itmar, although clearly there was a lion there, if you found a lion claw, but maybe it was there before they got there and it scraped on the wall. V'chulei. Itmar, Rav Amar Ein Choshen L'Savik Drusa. We learned Rav says, we're four lines up from the bottom on Nun Gimel Amid Aleph 53a. He says we are not concerned about Savik Drusa. Ushmuel Amar Choshen L'Savik Drusa. Shmuel says yes, we are choshish, we do worry. Dekulei Alma Savik All Savik Lo All Ema Lo All. So here we get into your question, Yaakov. Everybody agrees that if we're not sure whether the predator ever entered the group of the victim animals, then let's say it didn't enter, and therefore everybody will say your animals are fine. Safek kalba, safek shunrav. I'm not sure. I know that an animal entered, but I don't know what kind it was. Whether it was a dog, which isn't doe race, or a cat, which is doe race. Ema kalba. I can assume that it was a dog, and therefore there is no drisa involved. And the reason why Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ran say is because cats are not usually doe race. So I have two sfekos, really. Number one, it may not have been a cat. And number two, even if it is a cat, cats are not usually doe race in any case. Number three, we say here, all, if it went in, we know that the predator went in, and it was a predator, specifically, shasig ve'esav beinayu, but it was silent, and it sat among them, emer shlama shavi, I might say they made peace. Rashi says, you have domesticated predators, it's not like it couldn't be domesticated. If you look at Avodah Zarah Tezayin, you'll see more about that. So maybe there's peace among them. Kata reishe dechad minayu, and if it knocked off the head of one of them, then okay, noch meritchei. Then maybe it calmed down after having done that. Rashi says noch meritchei bahani, which means with these. That's not clear what that bahani is, and there's a discussion about that. What if it attacked more than one? Do I still assume that it calmed down, or maybe it really mauled for all we know all of them? Now you have to worry about all of them potentially being a drusa. Some suggest to alter the addition, say bahari. No, the idea is that it killed one, but that's all it wanted to do. The fact that it's like Shnei Ksuvin Avon Kiyachad. All it really needed to do was kill one, and then that's what worked for anger management. These animals are tough. The Iritcha is its anger. Yeah. Literally, it's boiling. So, iu kam avoi. Keep in mind, with all these cases, this goes back to the toxin discussion as well. They're dealing in mitzius, meaning all of these chachamim are dealing with flocks of animals and predators and animals brought to them and whatever. So, while it's very hard for us to understand the theory in a lot of these cases, they're seeing this live. And they're extrapolating their understanding of what's going on based on what they're seeing live. That's how they're doing it. It's analysis of what I see. So from that, they get their principles of how animals work and what the animal psychology is and what the toxicology is, for that matter. Iu kama avoy ve'inu kama karkaron. If the predator is roaring and the victim ones are also making noises, kama karkaron. Rashi notes that we have different verbs for the way different animals voice themselves. So ba'use kamivasi ahadadi. So then they intimidate each other. They just like, they always say to kids about the dogs, right? The dog is afraid. afraid of you? Sure it is. But that's the idea. The predator is also afraid of the victims, and maybe the predator did not attack. Ki pligi, the debate of Rav and Shmuel is the iu koshasek v'inu kamekarkaron, where the predator is silent and the victims are making noise. And now we have to go into higher speed, I think. The mar sever ma'isa ka'avid behu mar sever machmas b'asusa yudu ka'avdon. One view is that it did something. It did an attack. That's Shmuel. Umar Samar, Machmas Biasuse, Hudaka Abdan. And the other answer is, the approach of Rav is that nothing happened, that it was actually intimidated by the noise that they were making, and therefore it did not attack, and therefore I don't have to worry about Drisa. Amar Amemar, Hilchasa Choshen LaSavik Drusa. Amemar says the law is like Shmuel. We are worried about Safik. Amar Rav Ashi La Amemar. So Rav Ashi says to Amemar, Hai de Rav Mai, what do you do with Rav? Amar Le, Lo Shmieli. He said, I never heard that, but Shmiel doesn't really mean I didn't hear that. Kolomar Lo Svirali, meaning I disagree. Yeah, I understand, but I rule like Shmuel. Alternatively, Rav may have actually recanted from the following story. The Aruch edition is Kafa de Safek Drusas. Either way, it's the idea of a basket of birds that may have been a Drusos. They're alive, but they may have been Drusos. They were brought to Rav. Shadrinu Kame de Shmuel, and Rav sent them to Shmuel for a psak. This is not like the discussion we had a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, in which the animals were brought and there was a ruling given, and then the ruling was questioned, and then it was sent to Rabbi Barachana. That's a different story, because there we wanted to know, how can you overturn an earlier ruling, and so on. Here, he didn't give a ruling. He sent it to Shmuel straight. Chankinu, Shmuel strangled them, because he ruled, you are worried about Safek Drusa. Vishadinu Benar, and he threw them in the river. And if Rav really believed that Safek Drusa is not a concern, he should have just said Mutter. What's he sending him to Shmuel for? Elamais, the Gemara says, well, I still didn't understand the case. Even if Rav recanted, I don't understand the case. Hader Bey, he recanted. Lishrino, then let him say Aser. What's he sending him to Shmuel for? Ella, rather, you can't deduce anything from this story because Aseri de Shmuel Hava. It was Shmuel country. And therefore, it was inappropriate for Rav to issue a ruling. Rashi says, "Lav orach aru la rie kamei ba'asrei, but davar shein shav in a bow." Actually, he says, "You can." First, he says, "You can prove something from here." But the problem is that Rashi has two different editions in the Gemara. In Rashi's first edition, there's no word ella, meaning the Gemara is not changing its mind with this answer, and it's still using this case as a proof. So if there's no Ella, if you're using the case as a proof, the argument is Rav and Shmuel agreed because Rav did recant, and therefore Rav really could have said Oster here. He believed that Shmuel did, but since he agreed with Shmuel, in Shmuel's land, it was still inappropriate for him to give a ruling, and therefore he said, go to Shmuel. Shmuel is the posek, therefore you're supposed to ask Shmuel, and by the way, I agree with him anyway. But had Rav disagreed with him, Rav would not have sent it to Shmuel, says Rashi in the first view. And then he says his second view, which is correct, and that's our edition, which says Ella. That actually the deal is that you can't prove anything from Rav here. It was Shmuel country, and therefore he had to send it to Shmuel. Agree or disagree with Shmuel, Shmuel is the posek. You have one posek for the area, and that's it. And I'm very glad that the posek will be here as of Shabbos, and then he can take care of these chickens. But in any case, the Asri de Shmuel Hava, it's Shmuel's country, and therefore Rav was not issuing a ruling. So either we can or can't deduce Rav's position, but that's what happened. But still, I don't understand. Okay, I understand Rav. Okay, either Rav recanted and agreed with Shmuel, or Rav did not recant and he just sent it to Shmuel. But either way, what was Shmuel doing with these birds? He says, "Lama le mechlekinu? Why is he killing the birds? Why is he strangling the birds? Lishdenu achi benara. You know, let him just throw them out, throw them into the river, and be done with it." The answer is mifrachun v'salkun. The concern is that they're going to fly away; they'll nest somewhere, and then somebody ultimately is going to end up eating them. Someone is gakne now that these were drusa birds. Vilishinu shnemasar chodesh. Why doesn't he keep them for 12 months? Because it's a suffake, right? You can't do this with a real trefa. If an animal is a trefa, keeping it for 12 months will not help you. The animal is still non-kosher. But if it's a suffake, keep it for 12 months and see whether it lives. So asi bohuvi de takala. The answer is no, because there's a concern. It's going to cause corruption of things because someone is not going to be careful. By the way, Rashi explains the concern regarding the birds. Well, leave Rashi out. It's okay. Asi buli de takala. The concern is that people are not going to be careful with these birds. Viliz v'ninu la'ov de kochavim. Why not sell them off to people who are not Jewish? The asu l'zabninu l'Yisrael. No, because they'll just sell them to a Jew. V'lech nekidu v'lishdin la'ashpa. So fine, so kill them and throw them into a trash heap. What's with the river? V'li tameich nishdin l'klavim. Well, according to you, you're asking that question. Let's also ask why not throw them to the dogs. They're not also bahana. Ela l'farsume milsa de Isura. The answer is he wanted to make sure everybody would know that these were asur, and throwing them in the river is a nice public way to do this. Rashi adds in here that he didn't want to simply check the birds one by one, because it's hard to check birds, and there were an awful lot of them. And he was worried about making a mistake as he would check all of them. That's Rashi's first explanation. And then his second explanation, which he believes is more accurate, is that it's because when you're dealing with bird predators like the osprey or the sparrowhawk, he's worried that the toxin is not strong enough to necessarily make an impression on the flesh that's going to be noticeable. And so he believed you couldn't check the birds. Right, so I think that's why Rashi goes with the second approach. He's saying it's not checkable. Why? Who says? The suffake, the deraisa is that it's a trefa. It's only a suffake in terms of how to diagnose it and what the Rabbanon assigned as the ways to diagnose it. But it's a deraisa that it would be a trefa. Right? It's not the word of the Rabbanan in the Mishnah is just meant to define what is a trefa. Yeah, it's a suffix d'oraisa. And he's concerned. He doesn't know how to check it properly. So he says, I don't know how to check it properly, therefore don't use it. Right? This is what Va'adim do. You can't check this properly. Now we're about Talaim instead of Trefos, but it's the same issue. The animal rights people, weren't around yet. He couldn't give it to them. Ha'u bar avza, otherwise surely he would have. Ha'u bar avza dava be'ravashi. There was a duck in the yeshiva of Ravashi, along with the ewe that was in the bathhouse. All the Bene Kanya, it went in among the reeds. Nafak asa kimemasmes kawe dama. It came out, and its beak, its neck, was all bloodied. So Amar Ravashi, lo amrinan savek kalba savek shunra emar kalba. Ravashi said, well, don't we say that we said already on the previous Amud that if you're not sure whether an attack was done by a dog or by a cat, I'll assume it was a dog. And therefore it's not drisa, so to hear. Hachanami, safek kanya, safek shunra. Here the doubt is, maybe it was done by reeds, or maybe it was done by a cat. So, emer kanya machye, I could assume it was from the reeds. It was not from a drisa situation. Okay. Amri b'nei Rabbi Chia, those are dangerous reeds, don't mess with the reeds. Amri b'nei Rabbi Chia, the sons of Rabbi Chia said, now dealing with checking a drusa, which we already referred to in discussing the birds earlier, drusa sha'amru tzricha b'dika k'neged b'nei me'ayim. When you talk about suffix drusa, either from the lion, Rashi says, or you saw an attack, but you want to know, was there any toxin involved? So he says, what you do is, sricha bedika keneged b'nei me'ayim. You have to check the external surfaces opposite wherever inside you have innards. Rashi says the back, the belly, and the sides. You have to check the whole surface to see whether this flesh has reddened at all, which would indicate infection or something from the toxin. And Rashi says because it's going to burn its way into the skin, so there will be some way to check the hide. Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef said, Had bnei Rabbi Chia kvar pirsha Shmuel. Oh yeah, Shmuel already said that. By the way, Rashi's addition here, I believe, is Rabbi Zera, because Rashi's going to make a comment further along. And I saw after that the Rashash actually says that it's Rabbi Zera. that it's. But he said Rabbi Chiya's statement, or Rabbi Chiya's son's statement, already came from Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel said, "Mishum Rabbi Chiya ben Antignos, Drusa Sha'amru Tzvicha Bedika Keneged Bnei Me'ayim." You check opposite the Bnei Me'ayim, the opposite the innards. Boy Ilfa, we get a second question. Ilfa asks, Yesh Drusa L'Simanim? O Ein Drusa L'Simanim? What if the Drisa happens at the throat? Do I have to worry that this is an act of Drisa or not? Rashi says, because the Simanim are tough. These are tough, and therefore maybe that's not that they can't be affected by the toxin. So Amar Rabbi Zera had the boy Ilfa Karpirsha Rav Chanan Bar Rava. He says, "Oh yeah," Rabbi Zera says. Rav Chanan Bar Rava explained that. Dam Rav Chanan Bar Rava Amar Rav Drusa Shamru Tzvicha Bediga Keneged Beis Hachalal Kulo VaAfilu BeSimanim. He said we check a suffix Drusa even opposite the Simanim. So there is your answer. We already knew that from the statement cited from Rav. So the next statements are not going to be about Trefa discussions from a Drusa attack. They're about general concerns about an animal, and they're only here because they follow the same style of a question being asked, and someone saying, "Oh, we already knew that from so and so." And here Rashi says, just like the previous two cases where Rabbi Zera said, "We already knew that from so and so." So you see that he had Rabbi Zera instead of Rabbi Yosef earlier. Boy Ilfa asks, "Simanim shnidaldalu bekama." He says, if the simanim, the trachea, the esophagus, were dangling, they were not fully attached inside. So we've already said that if they're fully pulled away from the flesh, then it's a trefa and your shechita is no good. But how much of it has to be separated in order for it to be so? So Amar Rabbi Zera says, Hadaboy Yofa Kvar Pirsha Rabba Barbarchana. He says, "Oh, Rabba Barbarchana already said that." Dama Rabba Barbarchana Amar Shmuel, simanim shnidaldalu biruban. He says the majority of it, being pulled out, or Baruban Trefa, the majority of it being pulled out will render it a Trefa. And then we have another example. Boy, Rav Ami asks, Hamas Misa Mahu. What about Hamas Misa? Hamas Misa means an animal with bloodied skin. And Rashi says specifically not opposite the Cholol, because then you would already know from our previous discussion. So he has bloodied skin. What's its status? Amar Bizera, the boy Rav Ami, Kvar Pirsha Rav Yehuda. He says, "Oh, Rav Yehuda already explained that." Dam Rav Yehuda Marav, because Rav Yehuda said, citing Rav, "Bedrusa achiyadim basar keneged bnei me'ayim." Regarding a drusa, it's when the flesh reddens opposite the innards. Nismas meis habasa roano so kilu eno. If it's nismas meis, the skin is bloodied, we treat it as though the skin is not there, and that's it. Meaning, we view this as a non-drisa wound. It didn't undergo drisa. That's for sure. The only question is, the flesh that's there from the wound is damaged, and therefore I ask, can the animal survive without that damaged flesh? That's what we're actually asking. Hey, chidami nismas meis. What is nismas meis? Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua. He says, go to see the doctor. Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua says, kol sharofe gordau mamido abasar chai. Any case in which a physician treating this would simply remove the flesh, saying this is dead and better to get rid of it and clear it out. That's nismas meis. And we ask ourselves, could you do that? And could the animal then live? Yeah. Right. I mean, so in other words, they're saying it as though there was no attack at all. It's just the animal in general has decomposed flesh. Okay, I hear it. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. Okay. Rashi clearly believes it's an attack that started it. Rashi says, "Kigo and Darsa Biyarech." So Rashi believes that it was caused by an attack. And, you know, now we just have bloodied skin there, which may be decaying. Amar of Ashi, Kevin and Berav Kahana, Isu Kamana, Ireya, the Chiavam Yasvi, the Yasva Shapir, the Chiavam Madlula, Hava, either me Talchav enough la Tile, or Talchav enough la Tilche, whatever your addition is, the story is, I was in the Yeshiva of Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi says, we were in the Yeshiva of Rav Kahana, and they brought us a lung. And the deal with this lung was that if you put it down, it sat fine. However, if you hung it, if you suspended it, then you saw the flesh fall away in pieces. The, it was clearly deteriorated. And based on Rav Huda Ben Rav Yehoshua, who said that if a doctor would just say, get this flesh out, then it's a trefa, or then we treat it as though that isn't there, this lung, the flesh here is decomposed, so we treat it as though it has no lung, and therefore the animal is a trefa. Rav Nachman Omar, Rav Nachman Omar Bekotz, we now go back to drusa discussions and ways that we check a drusa. So he says, Bekotz ad shetinakev l'chalal. If you're dealing with an animal that has a thorn in it, so even if, we say if the thorn gets to the chalal, gets to the inner space of the animal, then I have to be worried that maybe it punctured something sensitive. And therefore it's no good. Bedrusa, if you're dealing with a drisa attack, then if the flesh is reddened opposite the innards, like we said before, then the animal's a trefa. Rav Zvid Masni Hachi, Rav Zvid had it this way. Bedrusa mishayadim basar keneged bnei me'ayim. However, he said if it's a drisa of the body of the animal, it's when the flesh is red opposite to the bnei me'ayim. However, if it was attacked at the throat, at the simanim, then ad shiadimu simanim atzman, then it has to be that the trachea and the esophagus themselves inside redden. Now, we've already seen the layers of trachea, right? We talk about the esophagus. I'm sorry, you have the red and the white layers. But I presume he means the white layer getting reddened in a spot that indicates an irritation from this toxin. That's the idea. And we'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow.